The March for Life was started as a protest against abortion and against the ruling in Roe v. Wade, which was handed down almost 50 years ago. And today, months after Roe has been overturned, anti-abortion activists marched again.
Boy, did we get a huge victory just a few months ago when Roe was overturned. But as you all know, that's only the end of the first phase of this battle.
That was House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana addressing the crowd of marchers. NPR's Sarah McCammon was there and joins us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Ilsa.
Okay, so from what you saw, what's your sense of what the next phase of anti-abortion activism is going to be about?
As you might expect, there's a big push for both state and federal abortion restrictions now that Roe is out of the way. Abortion pills are a huge focus across the board. Anti-abortion rights groups are challenging the FDA's approval of the abortion pill mifepristone in federal court in a case that could have huge implications nationwide, not just in red states, by the way. Mm-hmm. Federally, House Republicans also want national legislation restricting abortion at various stages, but they don't have the votes for that at this stage. At the same time, Elsa, I think there's also an awareness that in this post-Roe era, the movement can't just be seen as being about banning abortion. I'm also hearing a lot of emphasis on ideas like changing the culture and supporting pregnant women and children.
But say more about that. Like, are those ideas backed by any specific policy proposals?
You know, that's not entirely clear yet, but it is becoming a noticeable theme. Here's Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch, who successfully argued on behalf of the state's 15-week abortion ban before the Supreme Court in the Dobbs case. She spoke at the march today and called on activists to use this moment as an opportunity to make policy change.
Use it to support women when they are pregnant and when they are nurturing a young family. Use it to make more affordable, quality child care and make it more accessible. Use it to promote workplace flexibility. Use it to improve child support to make fathers equally responsible for their children.
Not a lot of policy details, not clear how much Republican support there would be for those proposals. But just this morning, a coalition of prominent anti-abortion activists and groups released a letter calling on both the movement and elected officials to work for more robust support for programs like paid family leave and expanding Medicaid for new parents. And Elsa, another thing that caught my eye today, you know, it seems like the movement may be trying to build a broader coalition in this new era. Mm. For example, we also heard from Connecticut State Representative Trinae McGee, who called on the overwhelmingly white crowd present on the mall today to put aside what she described as their emotional prejudices.
May we make room to hear Black women speak and believe them in this movement.
Well, let me ask you this, Sarah, because polling shows that a majority of Americans support access to legal abortion. So I'm curious, like, how are activists thinking about the fact that many of the restrictions that they are promoting are just out of step with public opinion?
Right. An NPR Ipsos poll we're releasing this weekend showed that 60% of Americans say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. One demonstrator I met, 24-year-old Jonathan Ski from D.C., called the overturning of Roe the best news that's come out of politics in a long time and says he looks forward to what comes next. I asked him if he thought state lawmakers should pass laws that are out of step with public opinion.
Well, it's up to the people. If the people elect the people that want to push those laws, then they consent to it in that sense. If they aren't happy, then they can vote them out.
And that's what abortion rights activists are counting on. They're encouraged, they say, by the results of November midterms, and they hope this issue will motivate voters in the coming years.
That is NPR's Sarah McCammon. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks.